grace. Amen. So Track Club and King's Kids can be dismissed at this time. Yes, ma'am.
He's got a fever. Mm.
Yes, ma'am. We sure will. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, no. That's fine. Yes, ma'am. I didn't say this earlier, but it's good to have Douglas off the road with us. Safe back in East Tennessee, back in the promised land. Mr. World Traveler, but we're glad to have Brother Doug back with us tonight. And glad to see everyone tonight. Leslie, nice and fired up. Probably had a long day at work. You pray for Miss Leslie in the medical field. I'm sure it's you're understaffed and overworked, right? So you pray for her. But we'll be in Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. You've heard me quote this scripture probably more times than you would like to count. But tonight we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit. And one thing I want to clear up right out the gate. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is a person. Brother John Van Gildren did a wonderful job when he was with us a couple years ago, expounding the truths from the Word of God on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, see, most of the time in Christendom today, when most people hear the term Holy Spirit, they think of goosebumps or like a feeling that they get. But the Holy Spirit is so much more than making the hair stand up on your arm. If that's all the Holy Spirit is to us, then we've got a problem. Now, there are times where I believe that the Holy Spirit manifests himself and we can feel it. But there are times, many, probably more often than not, that the Holy Spirit is working, the Holy Spirit is moving, the Holy Spirit is empowering, and we don't feel it. The Holy Spirit is not just a feeling, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want to just study the Word of God and consider some things about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit himself would prefer that I magnify Christ. But we can see that we need to be controlled by the Spirit, as we see in our text tonight, so that we can let him do what he wants to do through us. See, that the Holy Spirit is the power source by which we live the Christian life. And if we are not heeding the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, then we are not living a victorious Christian life. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, very, very familiar passage of scripture. But that'll be our springboard tonight, which we will come back to on the final few points of the message. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to proclaim the truths of your word. And tonight, as we, Holy Spirit, focus on you and what you do in and through us, I pray that you would enable me to rightly divide the word of God tonight, and to proclaim the truth of the word in such a way that we can take it and apply it to our lives. I pray tonight I would not just be giving information, but I would be giving truth from the word that we can take and we can use right away. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd meet with us now. Speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to look at four things tonight, and then we will be done and we'll get into prayer request time. But the first thing I want to look as we think about the Holy Spirit tonight is the duties of the Holy Spirit. The duties, the jobs, the things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of a child of God. Now, the things I'm going to go over tonight is not necessarily an exhaustive list, because we can probably not know all that the Holy Spirit does, but some things I believe that can help and encourage us from the Word of God in regards to the sweet Holy Spirit. So the first thing that, if you're taking notes, you could put this as point A under point number one, is the Holy Spirit regenerates. The Holy Spirit regenerates. See, that is the first act of the Holy Spirit within the life of a believer. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't regenerate us, bring us from death to life, make us a new creation in Christ, then he will not do any of the other things in and through us that we're going to talk about tonight. The word regenerate means to recreate, reconstitute, or to make over, especially in a better form or condition. The Holy Spirit makes us new. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, and ye hath he quickened. That means brought from death to life. Quickened means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of living in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And the acting agent who quickened us to life from death is the Holy Spirit. Just as we see in Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and it says the Holy Spirit basically moved over the face of the waters. That literally means brooded. He waited on God to say the word, and when God spoke, the Holy Spirit acted and brought to life the world that we have before us today. And that's one thing I encourage you to look at on your own time. In Genesis 1, as we see the creation of the world, we see a beautiful picture, obviously, of the creation of the world, but the creation of a Christian. That's a great picture of how you were brought from death unto life. You can see that even in Genesis chapter 1. I preached a message on that one time. But the Holy Spirit, he regenerates. He makes us new, brings us from death unto life. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That's a beautiful picture of what the Holy Spirit has done for every one of us. He's took our heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh. He's made us new. Remember, that's what our youth rally was all about. If we be in Christ, we're a new creature. Everything is becoming new in our lives. Ezekiel 37, verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And then John chapter 3, we see here verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst, and thou hear, where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us from death unto life. The Holy Spirit is what produces the new birth in us. The Holy Spirit is what regenerates us, makes us new. We see the Holy Spirit regenerates. But not only does the Holy Spirit regenerate, not only does he recreate us, make us new, but the Holy Spirit consecrates. And I mean here a twofold meaning. First, he sets us apart for a commission. God sets us apart for what the plan he has for us. And we see this in a lot of specific cases, or in the Bible. You see how God works and acts in the lives of his people because he has a very specific plan for them. He sets them apart for that plan. He enables them. It gives them the skills and abilities, and gives them, just like Paul going through, he had all the schooling that he had before he got saved. God was setting him apart, preparing him for the work that he had for him to do. The Holy Spirit consecrates us. He sets us apart for our commission, and he sanctifies to make us like Christ. And we see that in Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We all know that verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So as you know, the predestination there is referring to when we got saved from that God, from that he saw the end product of us being like Jesus. And what makes us like Christ? It's not like we're going to get saved, live how we want to live, and then when we get to heaven, he'll make us like Christ. Although we will be transformed, we will be made like Christ. But sanctification starts at the moment of salvation and continues until we go to heaven. And the agent doing that within our lives is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what is working in our hearts, working in our lives. The Holy Spirit is what is chipping away at our life. Anything that's not like Jesus. And that's one thing that should encourage people in regards to their assurance as they see that they are becoming more like Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that someone doesn't struggle with some things sometimes, but the general flow of your life, you'll be becoming more like Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit, his duty, his job, from the moment you get saved until you get to heaven, is to mold you and make you like Christ. And that scripture goes on, talking about the conformed to the image of his Son, verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that is the children of God. If you're saved, you were predestinated from that point into the future to be like Jesus one day. He did predestinate them. He also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So at the moment of our salvation, this should encourage us. This is a great scripture in regards to the security of the believer. At the moment of our salvation, the Lord sees the finished product. At the moment of our salvation, we're as good as in heaven. Because from that moment on, we're sealed, the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But the Holy Spirit consecrates, he sets apart for our commission and sanctifies us to make us more like Christ. Not only does the Holy Spirit regenerate, the Holy Spirit consecrates, and thirdly, or I guess you could say C, under the duties of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit illuminates. And what I mean by that, the Word of God. If we are to understand any Scripture, it will be the Holy Spirit who illuminates it to our hearts and to our minds. And here's what the Bible says on that. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, helper, paraclete, one to come alongside you, that he may abide with you forever. And then let that encourage us to know that once we get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts, and he will abide with us forever. He'll abide with us through this life, through death, all the way to heaven. We will never be outside the presence of the Lord. Verse 21, as we think about illumination, he that hath my commandments, and I want to point this out. He that hath my commandments, that's someone who not only has a Bible, but understands what that Bible is saying. He that understands the Word of God in regards to the commands to you and to me. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So the gauge of our love is our obedience to the commands of God. But how can we understand the commands of God? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how we understand. If it were not for the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to understand the commands of God. In verse 26 of John 14, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And we see, as you know, throughout the New Testament, Jesus specifically, he speaks of his death to his disciples. And the disciples heard the words that left his mouth, but they did not understand what was being said. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had not enabled them to understand what was being said. It was not time for them to understand. Now, I believe sometimes as we read the Word of God, there are some things we may read and not understand, but I believe we understand it when God wants us to. There's some things I've read my whole life, that the Scriptures I've known, but it's like at a certain point in my life, I was at the place where it's like God wanted me to understand that right then. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He brings to remembrance what was read and helps me, he explains it to my heart in a manner that I can understand it and I can apply it. See, we need to be careful and not think that we worked hard enough. I worked hard enough to understand it. Like in regards to a test in math class, man, I studied hard and that's why I got an A. That's not how it works with the Bible. There's a lot of scholars today who know facts about the Word, but they don't understand the Word because they don't have the Holy Spirit living within them. The Holy Spirit is who illuminates the Word to you and to me. And if someone does not have the Holy Spirit, number one, they're none of his, the Bible says. They're not saved. But number two, they cannot understand the Scriptures because the Holy Spirit is who explains it to us. John chapter 16, verse 13 goes on to the same thought. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Listen to this. "For he shall not speak of himself." And we'll talk more about this in a moment. "But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." You want to understand the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit to enable you to understand it. You say, "Ask the Holy Spirit." Yes, the Holy Spirit is a person. Ask him to enable you. If you're saved, he lives within you. And if we would ask him to enable us to understand the Scriptures or to enable us to witness to this person, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, ask him. He will not force himself. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But we've got to ask him. So the Holy Spirit illuminates, and this piggybacks right off of chapter 16, verse 13 there. But the Holy Spirit also celebrates. And what I mean by that means to glorify another. The Holy Spirit's job is not to magnify the Holy Spirit. See, in a lot of circles today, they claim to be Christian circles. I'm not their judge, but their theology and their doctrine is way in left field. But they don't magnify Christ. They magnify the Holy Ghost. They're not seeking to preach Christ, to glorify Christ, to point people to the Savior who died on the cross for the sins of the world. They're seeking a feeling. They're seeking an emotion. They're seeking power that doesn't magnify God or magnify Christ, but that magnifies them. And they can say, "Look how spiritual that guy is. Now donate $1,000 to my ministry because I'm so spiritual." And just maybe, if you have enough faith, you will be too. How foolish is that? The Holy Spirit, yeah, I'm sure, is infuriated by that. And the Holy Spirit is not within a million miles of that. The Holy Spirit's job, his main purpose is to point people to Jesus. It says there in verse 13, "Howbeit when the Spirit, when he," not it, "he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself." It's not about the Holy Spirit, it's about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is how we understand the truth about Jesus. At the moment of your salvation, when you recognized you were lost on your way to hell, the Holy Spirit illuminated that truth in your heart. If he had not have done that, you could not have been saved. You were spiritually dead. The Holy Spirit had to illuminate that truth to your heart so that you can understand, hey, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Jesus died so that I don't have to go there. The Holy Spirit did that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's what opened your eyes. He's what regenerated you. He's what illuminates the Word of God to you and to me. He is the one who does it. And he celebrates Christ. And there's never been a time, there's never been a time in my preaching where I feel the most, I guess, unction and power and fire behind the pulpit as when I'm glorifying Jesus. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's basically saying, yeah, that's right, preach it, preach it. I mean, he just goosing that up because he's like, hey, that's what I'm all about. Hey, you want the touch of God on you? Start glorifying Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will empower you and enable you to do that because that's what he does. And that's why we need to get us out of the way so he can do what he wants to do. That's why churches and Christians today aren't glorifying Christ, because they're not controlled by the Spirit. We've got to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So he illuminates, he celebrates. Another thing I want to point out, he authenticates. And what I mean by that is our salvation. The Holy Spirit will let you know you are saved. And not necessarily with an emotion. Some people think, well, that's how I know I'm saved, if I feel saved. No. Now, I believe sometimes you will feel saved, but I don't feel saved every day. I don't feel saved, but does that mean I'm not saved because I don't feel saved? No. But the Holy Spirit, when I read Scripture about salvation, if you're a child of God, he'll say, that is true. The Holy Spirit will bear witness that that is true. It always goes back to the Word of God. See, so many times people disconnect the Holy Spirit and the Word. The Holy Spirit is all about feeling, emotion, and experience. And the Word of God is a whole different thing. No, it is the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will authenticate the Word. That's how somebody gets saved. The Word is preached, and the Holy Spirit uses the preached Word to work in the heart. And we see that in John 15:26. When the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So we see there, he authenticates Christ. He authenticates your salvation. The Bible talks about if you have not the Holy Spirit, you are none of his. But if you have the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our down payment. The Holy Spirit is verification that we are saved. And the Holy Spirit is what seals us, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. So we see the Holy Spirit authenticates, but also the Holy Spirit activates two things. First, our service. We cannot serve God unless the Holy Spirit does it through us. And Dr. Bill did a wonderful job of explaining that to us. Remember what he said? Do for me what I cannot do for myself. You want to witness to somebody? Say, Holy Spirit, Lord, do for me what I cannot do for myself and empower me to do that. Give me the courage to do it. Give me the words to say. If it's left up to us, we will, number one, we won't do it. And if we tried, we'd mess it up. But the Holy Spirit, he wants to do it through us. See, the Holy Spirit, and Brother Dr. Bill said it, and I've said it before as well. God does not ask us to do or tell us to do anything that he will not empower us to do. And the Holy Spirit is the empowering agent. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says that, and we have a good picture of that in creation. I talked about it earlier. God spoke, and then it happened. He spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Why? Because he spoke, and the Holy Spirit made it light. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all working together. The Holy Spirit is the activating agent. So the Holy Spirit activates our service and activates also our supplication, our prayer. Go with me back to Romans 8. Thought I put the scripture there, but I did not. But I remember it's in Romans 8. You know, sometimes you want to pray. You have a burden to pray. You have a heart to pray, but you don't necessarily know how to pray. Some people may say, well, I don't know how to pray or what to pray, so I'm not going to pray. That's what the devil wants you to do. But we see here that if we will pray, that the Holy Spirit will, He'll take our feeble efforts and put it together in such a way that it's pleasing to God and within the will of God. And we see that in our scripture. In our scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. None of us can pray perfectly. We don't know how to pray perfectly. The Bible says here, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I've heard some preachers say when they don't necessarily know what to pray or how to pray in that moment, they just say, I agree with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost prays in the will of God. Some people, they come to the altar and they don't say a word, but they just pour their, they're literally pouring their tears out before God. And I believe the Holy Spirit's praying for them to God, in the will of God. Hey, that's good to know that when we do a terrible job of praying, but we're trying with a sincere heart to speak to God in a manner that's pleasing to Him, the Holy Spirit cleans it up and prays in the will of God for us. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit activates our service. The Holy Spirit activates our supplication. Sometime maybe when we don't know what to say or how to pray, say, Holy Spirit, enable me to pray, or say, God, and after you've done your best that you know how by God's grace, you say, I agree with the Holy Ghost. And you can guarantee He's praying exactly as it needs to be, because He knows the will and the heart of God, because He is God. And let's not make that mistake and think it's Father, Son, and then second-hand citizen here, Holy Ghost. No, the Holy Ghost is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Now, I'm not going to try to swim in that deep waters, but they're all God. So we see the Holy Spirit activates our service and our supplication. So those are some of the duties of the Holy Spirit. Now go back with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is where we'll be the rest of the message tonight. And to be honest with you, I didn't think that this message would take this long. But look, once again, I proved myself wrong. Everybody says, just once, could you preach short? Back in Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 is where we were at. I don't know if my allergies are acting up or what. But our text verse says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit, now if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's within you, He's regenerated you. But if you want Him to consecrate you, set you apart for your commission, sanctify you, illuminate the Word to you, celebrate Christ within you, authenticate your salvation to you, empower you to do the things that God has told you to do, we have here the demand in verse number 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Be is a verb. Be requires action. Be means we have got to do something to be filled with the Spirit. Remember, this is not Spirit indwelling, because when we got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence in our heart. But being filled by the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. Remember, if we are to fulfill the works of God that He has commanded us to do, the Holy Spirit must empower us to do it. And for Him to empower us to do it, He's got to control us. But it says, be filled, be controlled. How are we to be controlled by the Spirit? Two things. Number one, surrender. You've heard me say this before. You cannot be filled, controlled by you and controlled by the Spirit at the same time. It's not possible. If you're controlled by you, number one, it'll be obvious. But you cannot be controlled by the Spirit. You have got, and you've heard me pray it before, and I stole it from another preacher who prayed it, Lord, empty me of me and fill me with your Spirit. So you can't be full of you and full of the Holy Ghost. That's why we've got to be emptied of us. That's why we need to get to the place where we realize you can't do it unless the Holy Spirit does it through you. So you need to get to the place, fall on your knees, and say, God, I've got nothing to offer you but this feeble vessel. Take it and use it and control it and empower it. You got to surrender. You got to throw your hands up and say, I can't, you can. Take control. Now, I do not like the song, but Jesus, take the wheel. The truth is, we need to take our hands off the wheel and let God control us to do whatever it is. And you think, well, I've tried to do this in the Christian life. I've tried to read my Bible every day and I failed. Well, have you asked the Holy Spirit to enable you to do it? Really asked Him. Or what we say is, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. Well, you already failed before you started. Why? Because you said you're going to do better. What you need to say is, I can't do better. Lord, only way I'm going to do better is if you do it through me. And if we'll do that, He will empower us to do it. I'm getting ahead of myself again. But we must surrender, and then there must be seeking. We must be emptied of us and then ask Him to empower us. I believe the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman and will not force Himself on us. But if we will surrender, He will do great things through us. Things that it's obvious once they're done that it wasn't us that did them, but God did it. All throughout the Bible, you see people do that. A man with a stuttering problem. Now, I know Aaron did most of the actual speaking, but God used a man with a speech impediment to do great things because he surrendered to God, and God used him. Don't say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. Now, you need to have that mindset, but who God calls, who God commands, who God commissions, God empowers. It's not that, you got the tools, so you're going to be a preacher. You got the tools, so you're going to be a soul winner. You got the tools, so you're going to be this or you're going to be that. I mean, think of Matthew. A tax collector, a hated man. God didn't look at him and say, you got the tools. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. No, he looked at him and says, you ain't got nothing to offer me, but you're the person I want. If you'll surrender to me, follow me, I'll empower you to do great things. We got to, so the demand, surrender and seeking. If you'll ask him, he will enable you. You want to read your Bible faithfully, sincerely, truthfully, beg God to enable you by the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. And he will. But we need to understand, number three, the duration. This is not a one-time thing. Lord, empty me and fill me and control me. And whoop, you're good for life. No. We see in our verse, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you've heard me say this before too, but that literally means be ye being filled. That means it's a constant thing. It's a never-ending thing until we get to heaven. We, every moment of every day, need the controlling power, the Holy Spirit, to enable us to do anything of any value for our Lord. If we leave it up to us, we will do some stuff, but not of any value for the kingdom of God. But we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to enable and empower. And He will do it, but we've got to do it every day, every moment of every day. Why do you think the Bible says pray without ceasing? And you think, well, I don't need Him in some situation. No, we need God in every situation. We got to surrender. We've got to seek. And He will empower, but we got to do it consistently. And when you get a taste of the Holy Spirit enabling you to do something, I'm sure everybody has at one point or another, but sometimes there are just specific instances where you know that God enabled you to do that. You get a taste of it, you will want more of it. What I mean by that is you'll realize, hey, I did something there I couldn't otherwise do. That wasn't me, that was God. God, you can do it. And we know that God can, but we don't really know that God can until we let Him. And when He does, we want Him to do it more. But we got to do it all day, every day. So we see the duties of the Holy Spirit, the demands, the duration, and the development. The development, if we'll surrender and we'll seek, ask Him to enable, empower, to control us, He'll control us. And when we are controlled by the Spirit, there will be a noticeable change in our life. We see it, a picture of this in our text. And be not drunk with wine or in his excess. What does alcohol do to a person? Changes three things about them. First, it changes the way they think. Their thinking is impaired. And we need to be controlled by the Spirit like an alcoholic is controlled by their alcohol. It just completely takes over and transforms the way we think. That's what God wants for us. He wants it to have the Holy Spirit to have complete control and transform every thought we think, everything that comes into here. What does the Bible say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit together transforms the way we think. But we got to be controlled by the Spirit for that to happen. Changes the way we think, changes the way we talk. Now, I don't need to go into detail about someone who is inebriated. You can obviously tell they're under the influence. And somebody who's saved by the grace of God, being controlled by the Spirit of God, I believe the words that leave their lips will be different from that of the world. It'll be pure words, words that glorify Christ, words that encourage and uplift those they're speaking to, words that love, words that are different, because it's not us speaking them, but the Holy Spirit speaking them through us. I mean, every person in here, I'm sure there's been a time where you witnessed and afterward you thought, where in the world did that come from? Where you said stuff, then you're like, how did I put all that together in that moment? And the truth about that is it wasn't you, it was the Holy Ghost speaking through you. He will change the way, you'll speak differently if you're controlled by the Holy Ghost. And that is why we know when we are not filled with the Holy Ghost, when we speak. You can tell if you're controlled by the Spirit. The big way is how you talk, how you think. And so how you think, how you talk, and I put how you travel to fit the alliteration. What I mean by that is how you live, what you do. When someone's inebriated, they do things they otherwise wouldn't do. Same thing with those that are controlled by the Spirit. We do things that otherwise we wouldn't even want to do if the Holy Spirit wasn't enabling us and empowering us to do it. The Holy Spirit can change our desires and change the way we act, the way we live, but we've got to surrender and we've got to seek His control. We've got to be filled. Be ye being filled. If you sit back and say, well, I'm just going to ride my church pew to glory, well, you're not going to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, you're indwelt by the Holy Ghost, but you've got to surrender and seek to be filled by the Holy Spirit. If you'll do that, God will do great things through you. He'll take, like I preached a few weeks ago, and then Brother Cody Shue preached this past weekend at the Central's youth meeting, and it was wonderful. He will take your little and make much of it if you'll just surrender it to Him, just like He did with the boy with a few crackers and some sardines. God wants to take the little bit we have to offer and do great things with it if we'll just surrender it to Him, surrender it to the Holy Spirit. Give Him control. And that is an act. That is what we got to do. That's not just something that happens. You have got to actively surrender. If you'll do that, God will do great things through you for His glory. That's what the Bible says. And that's all I've got tonight. I hope that was an encouragement and a challenge to you. We don't have much time for prayer requests, and I apologize for that.